Wonderful. Well, it's so wonderful to be with you guys and to have a chance to share what God is doing in Uganda. It's been an exciting time out there, but actually this last year was one of the most difficult that I've had. And so I want to share with you the challenges that were there and how God used that in the process. Now, the name of this presentation is a Fellowship with Christ. I don't know if we can dim these lights a little bit here. Did they dim? God wants to be close to us, and he wants to be in fellowship together with us. And Waffle and I have been living in Uganda for quite some time. I first went there in 92, like Sue was saying. We work with a group called the Christian Adventure Ministry, and we partner with the Ugandan organization called Clyde that we started many years ago. And so it's exciting to be serving God, especially together with Waffle now. He's doing a great job. He's like a pastor of pastors. I'm a veterinary missionary, but I have a lot of other ministries that I do there also. So we want just to review Uganda. It's right in the heart of Africa. We work mostly up in Karamoja, which is the northeast corner there. It's kind of a dry land area that's quite similar to eastern Oregon, but it has acacia trees instead of junipers out there. So this last year was one of the most difficult that I've ever imagined happened. The mission feels like more like a battlefield. Years ago, we had done a peace ministry together with the Karamojong, and they're a violent, aggressive tribe, and they had given up their guns at that time. And so for 15 years, we lived in peace with them. But now the guns came back. And so it's been so difficult having the fighting return, machine gun fire at night, and people screaming and, running, and animals being stolen. So it was a very, very difficult time to be there. Waffle came here for furlough, and I couldn't come because there was also a famine at the same time. And so we were feeding the people, and the famine got so bad. It was so challenging to be able to be together with the people in the villages. And, you try to organize them for the feeding programs, and you go from village to village registering people. And sometimes you would delay to get back to the place that, you had started at. And you finally come with the food, and you find that you're too late. And some of the graves are there from the people that you had registered. And you just, it's hit your heart so hard that, the suffering that people go through, the challenges that they go through, and you can't be there for all of them. You have to just accept what God is going to do together with you and try to move forward in the midst of those difficulties. And the people had such a challenge during that time. A lot of the little children were having malnutrition, and many of the older people passed away. And we also had threats to the ministry land that we have purchased over there. People were coming after us and threatening us with machetes and chasing us from the land with fire. And so it was a lot of difficult times during this last year. But we saw that it was really not just a physical threat, but it was a spiritual threat. It was Satan trying to come after us to steal, kill, and destroy, try to bring difficulties in our lives to discourage us. And it especially came a lot when Waffle was here in the States, and so it was very heavy on my heart during that time. It was really a year of sorrow, and I don't know if you noticed, but I went off of Facebook. I couldn't really communicate with people because it was such a hard time. It was such a difficult thing to be in the midst of so much suffering and to be able to try to care for those people and to see how my heart could still connect with them. In some ways, I felt like I just wanted to run away. I just wanted to leave because people are dying and I can't help all of them. So it was a very challenging time to be together with the people. A time when you have so many questions. God, what's happening here? Where's the peace that we needed? Where's justice coming in this situation? People are suffering. It's not their fault. How can I bring healing? How can I bring joy in the midst of that? During that time, I decided to do some fasting and prayer. I just needed to draw close to God because it was so painful to see the suffering of the people. So I took a 40-day fast. Just to offer myself to God and to get closer to him and be able to hear his heartbeat for the people and to be able to continue to offer myself because I felt like I wanted to leave. I didn't want to be there in the midst of it. But God did some great things in my heart during that time. And this is one of the verses that he gave to me to meditate on during that time. This is the prayer of Jesus on the Mount of Olives. He prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And I could hear Jesus saying to me, can you drink this cup? Are you willing to drink the cup of suffering, the cup of challenges, the cup of difficulties? That's why you're there. You're there to enter in with those people and to be together with them. Like he also suffered so much, but he did not run away from it. He offered himself to God and allowed God to work through him. These are two of the other sections that God led me to during that time of prayer and time together with the people. Looking at fellowship with Christ is actually fellowship also, not only in the joyful parts, not only in the communion with others, but also fellowship in his sufferings. This verse from Philippians, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. This is what Paul was saying. You know, Paul went through so many sufferings, but he saw that as a gift from God, to endure that and to be part of surrendering to God and allowing God to work in and through you as a fellowship in Christ's sufferings. Then from 2 Corinthians, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And so God, during that time, shifted my focus from all this suffering all around me and all the trauma that I was feeling inside of me from all those challenges, and let me fix my eyes on Jesus. And it was really a time of recognizing more and more of God's power at work in me. You know, my love is like this much, and I can keep trying to pour out that much love, but it runs out. It has to be the love that Jesus puts in me that I spread to others. It has to be through his power and through his Holy Spirit that can help to guide me. So this is the team that I work with. They're a wonderful Ugandan team. And there's Waffle, too. He says hi to everybody. these are the different ministries that we've been doing together. And so during that time of the famine, a lot of the ministries we had to postpone for a bit because we had to be feeding the people. But we have some great members. Dr. Moses Otim and Christine are on the right there. They came and visited you guys, and he's still our team leader, and God is doing great work in his life too. These are the wonderful pastors and assistant pastors that are helping us out there. And so, amazingly, God helped us to start new churches during the COVID time. All the other places, everyone shut down the churches. We were starting new churches. God did that during the COVID time. And so now during the famine, we used those churches to be able to have an outreach to the communities. And so these pastors really helped us with that. And in the process, because the church was there as a loving force within the community, many of the people turned to Christ, especially the elderly people and the little children. Those are the main people that were helping during the famine. So we had 154 new believers that came forward last year, and then 122 were baptized this year. And then we started 4 Christian nursery schools that we're working with in the communities within those churches. But the famine was so bad, but the churches really helped us. So the pastors and the churches organized all their communities, and we got additional churches. We had about 7 or 8 churches we were working with at any different time to try to bring food to the people. The drought came because of the famine, the famine came because of the drought, but there was also a lot of fighting in the communities with machine gun fire, and so women couldn't go out and dig in the fields because then they would get shot, or the warriors would come and grab them. Even the army was grabbing people and beating them to try to get them to tell where the guns were. And so it was a very difficult time in all the communities. They had to kind of stay in hiding. Even we had a group of children we had to take to a refugee camp because they were being abused and grabbed by the both the warriors and the army. And so it was a difficult time to see that famine come and people have no food. So the ground was dry, and they try to plant something, and it would only grow for maybe a week, and then it would just wither away. this man was searching for food, for seeds, and we had a few seeds we had handed out, and some of them dropped on the ground. He ran quickly and picked up every seed that was there so he could plant something. He got about 40 seeds, and he was praising God that he would get maybe 40 ears of corn out of that. And so just the little things like that have a meaning when you don't have food, when you don't have a way to survive. Every little thing is important. The elderly people were the ones that suffered the most. They tend to go away from the family whenever they get a little bit of food. They don't want to take the food from the children. And so the elderly people will go and they'll sit under a tree somewhere and let everybody else eat. And then they come back afterwards and then they just waste away. And so it was really hard to see those older people. And even the little children didn't have enough food, and they got a lot of malnutrition during that time. So we set up a program where we could bring food for the elderly people, and then we were cooking food for the children. So that's my truck all loaded up, and there's one of the distributions for the elderly people. So we would bring them all together, and then we would bring food for them every other week. This is a 2-week store of food, so we had a small storeroom. We would load it full of food, and then we'd empty it out, and then we'd come back with more food in 2 more weeks. Mm-hmm. So here's some of the distributions. This man here, his wife got really sick at the middle of the famine. She didn't have enough food, and she was got sick with malaria and passed away. And so then he was left with this little child to care for, and so we put him on the list so he could get food also. Here's some of the ladies, so happy. The wonderful thing I like about this is since we did through the church, as soon as we arrive and as soon as we go there, they begin praising God, that God has heard their prayers. And I'm so touched by that they're not saying, oh, this white lady has come to help us. They say, God has helped us. God can hear our prayers. And so I was so excited to see that God got the glory in the process, and people were recognizing the power of God in their lives. And that was so exciting to see that. Here they're loading the food. And on this day, we got rain, so it was really a good blessing that God gave us rain on the day of the distribution. So in the feeding centers, we decided to make them into Bible clubs, and then we would give them food in the process. We didn't want to call it a feeding center. We wanted people to come because they wanted to read the Bible. But all the little kids from the whole community came, 100 or 150 kids from every community for the 7 different locations would come, and then 3 days in a week. So we would have Bible stories and lessons and role plays and games and things, and then we would feed them afterwards, big pots of food like this. So it was great. The kids were very excited to be able to get food, and we only could do it Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and so their parents would try to get food for them in between times. Mm-hmm. Here they are with a big pot. Mm-hmm. Happy kids. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the, we had the 7 different churches and that had the Bible club, so we're hoping those will also develop into nursery schools or what we call ECD centers in the future for the church to be able to provide some training for the kids in the villages there. There's no schools at all. Those are very remote areas that we're working in. And so we're hoping that those can develop into schools in the future, since we've been training those teachers in Bible and also in some teaching techniques. We hope that they can continue in the future. Mm-hmm. It's been amazing to see the kids learn about the Bible for the first time. You know, these places that had a little church there, but they weren't very active in those communities. And so now when you have 150 kids coming at once to learn the Bible, they get so excited, and they want to go tell their parents. So this little girl in the lower left went home one day, and she said her mom was someone who was brewing beer in the communities and kind of a prostitute. So she would brew beer and then get the men to come there to drink the beer, and then she would get other business while they were there. And so the little girl came home one day after the Bible club and said, Mom, I'm not going to let you brew beer anymore. You need to turn to Jesus. You need to stop those things and come to the Lord. And so this little girl, who was just a new believer from the Bible club, she led her mom to the Lord. And then they came together to tell us afterwards. So it's exciting to see that we have all these little evangelists now out there that, that are spreading the word too. So some of we have the 4 Christian preschools that are going, and we hope these new 3 locations will also become Christian preschools in the future. Some of them have uniforms like this, and we hope to do more of those uniforms in the future, too. We got sewing machines, and so we have some ladies that we're teaching how to sew so they can make the uniforms for us. So it's exciting to see how God has been leading the children and the people to follow after him. Even in the midst of very difficult times, in the midst of the famine, God's hand is working there. These are some of our teachers that are teaching, and one of the little kids with his food. In the process, many of the kids have also turned to Christ, and so we're excited for the future. If this generation comes up, that could really transform Karamoja, now that we have hundreds of little kids that are interested in following the Lord. So it's amazing to see that might be a generational change that can come as a result of a famine in the community. This is an interesting school here. It's up on the top of a mountain called Mount Moroto. It's near where we live, and it's not actually the Karamojong tribe. Most of the people we work with are in the Karamojong tribe, but there's another tribe that used to live down on the plains, but they fought with the Karamojong, and the Karamojong defeated them, so they ran and hid on the top of the mountain. They've been there about 70 years now, and so they're afraid to come down. So they have kind of given up their language, and they're learning the language of the Karamojong and teaching that to their children because they fear the Karamojong. Well, when we started the little church there, we thought, well, you know, they have another language, and they're another tribe. They should use their language. And so we started to sing songs in that other language. Then we started the nursery school, and we brought the older people who know the language to come and teach the kids how to speak that language and to encourage them to use it. So this is a little chart that we made, picture that we made to teach the kids the different body parts, because they didn't even know, since their parents weren't wanting to teach them. Well, this language was considered what we call moribund. It was going to die out. There's about 7,000 people in this tribe, and there's only about 80 that still know the language. But so we started working with them and trying to translate some things and write the language for the first time. It's never been written. I'm not a linguist. I'm a vet doctor. But I can listen and try to write it down how I can do it. Well, the amazing thing is Wycliffe heard that we were doing that. And God just stimulated them to write me an email and said, are you really helping the Tepeth people to write their language? And you have a church there? I said, yes, God is doing this. We put them together. And I sent them all the translated materials that I had and then the pictures like this. And they said, that is amazing. We had given up on that language. We weren't going to make a Bible, but now we're going to do it. So we're going to meet you next month. And so they came, and now they've been meeting with us, and they're going to make the Bible in the Tepeth language. So we praise God that's going to happen on the side, even though we never knew anything like that would come. They're going to start up with it right away. So that's very exciting. We have, not only do we have the little children, but we also sponsor a lot of kids in the different schools, and many of them are going to college now. So that's exciting to see them coming up and turning in a better direction. But the warfare is still there. And so we try to do peace talks with the people, and it's not working this time. The problem is that the people are fighting because they've been hired. The politicians in the area are paying money to the warriors to go raid. And so it's no longer a warrior fighting because he has anger against someone. So we can't really do a peace talk to bring them to reconciliation. They're doing it more like a business. And so it's really a difficult thing to try to fight against. It really needs God to intervene in those politicians that are paying people to help them to turn away from the fighting. The government is trying to collect the guns, and so they go to the communities and surround a village and go and break into all the houses and get any guns that are there. And then they come and they burn them like this. But even then, the Karamojong come and gather up those burnt barrels of the guns and make new guns themselves. And so it's not stopping the fighting. Here's removing a bullet from this cow here. And so even people sometimes remove the bullets from the people because they're afraid to go and tell anyone they have been shot, because then everyone will think they're a raider, and many times they are. So that way I make friends with all these raiders, because I can take their bullets out for free. And then I can have a chance to share the gospel story with them. Mm-hmm. It's difficult, though, because many people have been killed in the last year from the fighting. This is one of the funerals that we had. Now, with our little churches coming up, there had never been churches before, so now they come and they talk to the pastors and we hold funerals. They used to just leave the bodies on the side of the road or wherever they died in the battle, but now they're at least bringing the bodies, and then we can bury them, and we can be together with people and pray. And so people are recognizing that that God can bring them comfort at that time, even though they know that there's a lot of pain and suffering through the whole process, but God is helping. This little girl got shot also in the middle of the warfare. She was one of our members of the nursery school. So here we are in the middle of a battlefield, so much suffering and so much pain. I ask myself during that time of fasting, why does God allow all this suffering? Why does God allow all this to happen? Can't he just stop it? Why doesn't he just end it and let people live in peace? You know, you really have to think about that when you're in the midst of so much trauma in people's lives. Well, there was two things that God kind of led me to in that process. The first was that God allows that suffering and pain for the sake of sanctification, for us who are helping, as well as for those who are in the midst of that suffering. Jesus said, Jesus was made perfect through suffering, from Hebrews 2. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God, recognizing that as those difficulties come, we need to turn and surrender ourselves to God. We can't just pretend like it's not happening. We have to enter into it and recognize the difficulties that we're having and turn to Christ and find out what are the things that are keeping us from trusting in him in that deeper way. And God can purify our hearts during those times of difficulties. The other thing that I saw was that God wants to make his glory made known to others. It's an opportunity for us to love, because the light shines best in the darkest places. You know, when there's horrible things happening, when people are suffering, just even a little amount of love showing to them makes a huge difference, and they recognize that they can call on God, and that God will hear them, and God will answer them. So we really saw that the most strength that we had was on our knees, and the communities really turned to prayer during this time, and it was wonderful to see that they didn't try to seek their benefit from outside sources. They didn't see me as the thing that was making any difference. They saw that it was God, and that they needed to turn to God and to pray and to seek his face. So now we're in a new year, and the famine is waning to some degree. The rains have started to come. Amazingly, when Waffle was here, he was able to raise money to buy a tractor. So he has a Kubota in Uganda now. So the famine is going to end. He is able now to plow the land for all those families. And then we got enough money to buy seeds for all those communities. And so he's plowing and plowing and plowing and giving seeds to the people, and they're planting it in their fields. So they're going to have enough food for this year. So it's amazing how God did that when he was here. He went to churches, and you guys donated and other churches donated, and we were able to buy that tractor and all the food for the people. And so it's been wonderful to see the response in the community. As soon as the Kubota comes in town, everyone is dancing and singing. Kubota is a new word in Uganda now. So we give seeds for the families so they can plant their gardens there. And we do it through the local churches. And so they see that it's something that that God is doing. And we gather the church members together, and then they share with their communities also. Then we do some training on how to plant the seeds, because some people have been planting them poorly and that's why they don't grow. And so we do planning on how to make the holes and then how to plant the different seeds. Not only planting seeds, but planting churches. This is our new Baptist church. We meet under that tree. So this is about 60 members are in this new church, and they were part of the famine program. And so we were training their their Bible school teachers during that time and the Sunday schools. And this church is growing and growing. I didn't get to go in there on a Sunday because I'm in the other four churches that we started. But this church is one that you can really pray for. It's a community called Nataparakwangan, which is a hard word to say, so I didn't even put it there. But Nataparakwangan is a little Baptist church that loves Jesus, and they have a wonderful pastor that's leading them, and they're looking to build a building later on. So the main four churches that we've been working with are up in the north there on the backside of Mount Moroto, but this new Baptist church is down in the southwest of Mount Moroto. I live in Kangoli, which is in the lower left-hand corner there. And so the Baptist church is a little closer, actually, than the other new churches that we started up there. And the one that is on the top of the mountain, Kaking'ol, that's the one that's the new tribe, the Tepeth. It was an unreached people group, and now we have two churches there, and now we're going to translate the Bible. So that's a very exciting time to see what God could do in the midst of a suffering. He's done a lot. So Waffle is busy constructing churches, too. This is a small little church that he's putting up, and we use it for the nursery school also. Sunday schools are always fun, so we're training the Sunday school teachers and getting them out there to help the communities. We love the church. This is the church I usually go to. It's called Lo Lung. It's under two different trees, and we kind of straddle the trees with the community members there. This is during the praise and worship, they like to jump up in the air. I don't know if you can really see, but those guys can jump so high up in the air when they're worshiping. It's really fun. This couple on the left is going to be our first bride and groom in our new little churches, and so we're going to have a wedding for them when I get back there. I've collected a few wedding dresses, so we're going to have some fun marrying our first couple in the churches there. God has done amazingly also to bring the people to Him, and so this is the baptism from February. Many, many new believers that got baptized there together with Waffle there. And then we go down to the river and baptize them there. It's been amazing to see God's hand at work, especially the elderly people. These are the elders in the community that were very strong against Christianity for many years. But in the midst of the famine, they knew they were going to die because no one wants to feed the old people. And so when we came with the food, they were just amazed. They couldn't believe that someone had remembered them and that they were someone that was important. And so we came and visited with them and talked with them and prayed with them. And halfway through the famine, then they turned to Christ. These had been guys who were leading the raids. If you can see the second guy there, he has all those marks on him. That means he's a killer. He'd killed many people. Those are ceremonies that they do after they kill someone. Then they do these cuttings on them, on themselves, as part of the process. And they slaughter an animal as a part of the process to purify them from the murders that they have done. And so these are guys who are leading those raids, and now they've turned to Christ, which is very meaningful in that community. So here's the baptism of a couple of them. And another one here. So it's so fun to see the transformation that happens in the midst of everything. So we see that it's a battlefield, mission field, but we know that God's resurrection power is at work. What seemed to be dead, what seemed to be, horrible, is something that God was going to make into something wonderful. We also saw that we needed to tap into God's love. Our love was not enough. It needed to be God's love that spread to the people, and to not try to do everything with our own power, but let God use us and use others in the midst of it. We saw that God can bring beauty from ashes and can make dry bones into armies for the Lord. So Waffle and I are excited. We know that the victory that we can have in those communities of the spiritual victory comes from surrendering to God's hands, not trying to force anything, not trying to be someone who can really do something, but it's God who's going to do it. God is the one who's going to make a difference there. We firmly believe in the power of the resurrection to transform any situation into one that can glorify God. And we firmly believe that God can pour his immeasurable love into our hearts so that we can love others in his strength. We really appreciate you guys, and thank you for supporting us out there, for helping to make it possible to provide a tractor so we can get the famine to be ended. We still need lots of prayer on the side of the on the side of the fighting. So that's definitely on our hearts. And prayer for the children and for the new Bible that's going to come up in a little while. This is our prayer. May God continue to draw us together in prayer to overcome fears, to motivate us to a love that brings courage, to move the mountains that impede his path, and to fulfill his purposes in the communities where he has placed us. So thank you guys for all you've done to support us out there. We love you so much, and sorry that Waffle couldn't be here together with me, but he sends his greetings so much to you. And we would invite some of you to come out there and help us out. We always need an extra hand. There's lots of different ministries with children, with the pastors. We need some pastor training. All these young guys, they're just learning how to flip through the Bible right now. So we appreciate your prayers and look forward to talking to you more. So God bless you guys. COVID was a hard time because some of the funds decreased during that time. So we're a little bit down right now, but we're like at 85% like that. So it's just down a little bit. But God is with us, and, you know, in case anybody wants to give, that would be great. This is our information. So thank you guys so much. God bless you. Let me hand back over to Pastor. Okay.
Dr. Val, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Leave that slide up there if you would. Todd, can you turn this down a little bit? Thank you. Mm-hmm. I know you have some information out there in the hallway. Does it include that kind of information? Do you have any cards or anything?
Yeah, I have a prayer cards, and we would love to if you put our prayer cards on your refrigerator and pray for us. That would be wonderful.
Absolutely. People want to know how they can further support you. I know that there are people here in this church who already do, but there may be others.
Yeah, it's on that card.
And so that information is out there.
Yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm. Okay. Perfect. Mm-hmm. I do want to remind you that after the service, I'm assuming they asked if you could stick around for a little
good.
Bit.
Oh, I'm good. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We are going to have some watermelon and stuff out on the patio. It's a chance to continue to visit with Dr. Val. And so just want to invite you to stay for that. If you don't know the way there, you basically are just going to walk down that hallway and then go through the first set of double doors and turn right, and it'll take you out in the patio out there. Yes.
In honor of Carla's 70th birthday.
Wow, wonderful.
All right, let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for Dr. Val and Waffle and the faithfulness of their lives to make the gospel known. To serve others, to love others in the name of Jesus. Giving flesh to what the gospel is supposed to look like in the lives of everybody who follows Jesus. Father, we pray for them as they continue their work in Uganda. Father, as they spend time in the United States, just sharing about what you are doing there, what you are doing around them and through them and with the team that they are a part of. Father, pray that you continue to give them opportunity to share, that additional prayer support can be raised, that additional financial resources can be raised and amassed. Trainers, teachers, Father, missions teams can continue to be gathered together so that that work can continue that's happening there and even continue to grow.
Thank you.
Pray for Dr. Val and Waffle in this, what has been as we've heard this morning, has been a season of tremendous suffering. Father, for the people of Uganda, for Dr. Val and Waffle. Father, between the famine and the violence, the disease that they've experienced, so much death, so much loss. But just pray that your comfort would be on them and on the people that they serve. Father, your power would be evident even in the midst of this darkness and loss, that your grace would just continue to flow in unbelievable and even miraculous ways.
Yes,
Father, and give them and the other believers there the ability to love others, even when they are not terribly lovable. Father, knowing that that is exactly how you love us. Father, pray for the ongoing work that they're doing in both providing and distributing food. Pray that they continue to have the financial resources to be able to continue to do that, especially in this time of famine. Father, it is good to hear that that the severity of the famine seems to be lessening. And pray that that would be a trend that continues, that the rains would come, that Father, thank you for a tractor and just the efficiency that that provides in terms of getting crops planted, and pray that for bountiful harvests in these coming months and even years, Father, that there would not be so much hunger there. Pray for the ongoing evangelism and discipleship that's taking place in these churches, in these indigenous churches. Pray for the pastors, the other leaders of these churches, that, Father, that you'd be with these men and women, and just that that the gospel would continue to go forth in their lives. Father, pray for the peacemaking work that I know that Dr. Val and Waffle are deeply committed to. And Father, even though some of the dynamics there have changed, yet, Father, we pray that peace would prevail. Father, that those who would be driving this violence, whatever their motives, Father, that those motives would be changed, that those efforts would fail, and that peace in the end would win, Father, and Father would return to these communities.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to partner with Dr. Val and Waffle and for many other churches that are doing the same. Father, pray that you would show us how we can best do that for the sake of your kingdom, Father, as well as for their good.
Yes,
we pray
you,
this
Father.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.